Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, let's do it. Power rank the power rankings. We do it every Tuesday. What do the experts think of the Houston Texans? There's four of them that we use for this exercise each and every week. Texans have been kind of hovering around the same place for a while. It's really hard to make big moves this late in the season. But I'm always anxious to see, do they get bumped up or down based on their performance the previous week?
Yeah. You know? Well, and then when the playoff standings are there a little bit, you get a little bit extra shine from
right,
all that.
Right. Well, and it's, what's interesting is just not to get into great detail before we've even ranked any of these pundits. There's some teams I think Texan fans are hoping that they see in the playoffs that are ranked ahead of them in a lot of these power rankings.
Right? Oh, yeah.
A lot of the experts
for sure
think Denver is just a better football team than the Texans.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Chargers are just a better football team.
And with
team.
Good reason.
Yep.
You know, they're right there. I'd say the Broncos, the Texans, and the Chargers all have serious flaws and weaknesses, but also some part of them that potentially could be really good. I think the Texans on paper at the beginning of the season, you never would have thought that. And yet we know every single year in the NFL, that's not the way it shakes out.
Never would have thought Denver. I took the under on Denver wins for the year. That bet was toast a month and a half ago.
Credit to Sean Payton for the work he's done with Bo Nix. Yes. He's gotten a lot out of a rookie quarterback.
Yep, and Vance Joseph for the work he's done with that defense. They've done a really good job. All right, so there's four power rankings we use in this exercise. Power rank the power rankings. They are CBSSports.com, ESPN.com, SI.com, and The Athletic. Number four, coming in at four, bottom of the barrel this week, Pete Prisco of CBSSports.com, who has the Texans holding steady at 14th overall. The loss of receiver Tank Dell, this is Pete Prisco talking, to a knee injury will be damning for them. Wow. Mm. When he went out against the Chiefs, the offense became lifeless. Now they face a tough Ravens team. Here's the thing, Pete. Them being lifeless in the second half of a football game happened a lot with Tank Dell on the team.
They actually showed some life in the second half after the Tank Dell injury. They got down to the 10-yard line.
They did.
But then the quarterback gave up 5 yards, and then a delay of game penalty gave up another 5 yards. And then
a field goal.
Yeah.
Kicking a field goal.
Well, and then the sack was on that third down, right? The corner sack.
That was on the last possession.
That's right. That was on
the last possession where they punted the ball back to Kansas City and they never saw the ball again. If you're looking for some context here as far as CBSSports.com goes, the Texans are 14. The two teams sandwiching them are the Broncos at 13 and the Bengals at 15.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bengals, 7-8 on the season.
Bengals can do some work for the Texans here down the stretch.
If the Bengals and Texans played on a neutral field, I think the Bengals would be favored in that game right now. I know they're 7-8.
Their defense is atrocious, but can the Texans take advantage of an atrocious defense?
And Joe Burrow scores against everybody.
Yeah,
He's having like a Deshaun Watson 2020 kind of year.
The part that I'm guilty of this week is that it hasn't really fully registered in this short week that, man, they are really, really banged up in the secondary now. But despite the fact that your two cornerbacks and one of your safeties is playing really, really good football. So I'm trying to figure out exactly, as I work on my final prediction, exactly how much I'm concerned about that, given that it's the guys a little bit lower on the pecking order that the Ravens will be able to attack that you worry about.
Yep.
You can make up for a lot of that with pass rush. There's a lot of pressure on the Texans' pass rush to do what they've been able to do at home this year, is be a unit that turns quarterbacks into worse versions of themselves.
Yep. Number three, power ranking of the power rankings. Number four was CBSSports.com. Number three, The Athletic. They have the Texans holding steady at 13 this week. And they have one big question for each team in this power ranking, The Athletic. The big question for the Texans, what's up with the offense? The Texans are last in the NFL in success rate, with only 40% of their plays gaining enough yards to keep them moving towards first downs. As a result, their average yards to gain on third down, nearly 8, is the highest in the league.
Yeah.
Second-year QB C.J. Stroud hasn't been good enough to get them out of it. He's 25th in EPA per dropback after being 6th as a rookie last year. So that's, even if you don't know what EPA is, it's expected points added. It's an advanced stat that basically just measures how good you are. Just know that he was 6th last year, and he's 25th this year in that stat.
Yeah, and the whole thing about that's kind of on a down-by-down basis, so you can make up for it in different areas. Like with the Texans, it's been they've had some big chunk plays offensively. That's really – I mean, when asked what is this offense good at last week, the only thing Bobby Slowick could come up with is these big explosive plays. The problem is it's hard to exist on a steady diet of big explosive plays.
Indeed.
The stuff So on a down-by-down basis or a series-by-series basis, there's just too many times where they're getting stuffed on first down or stuffed on second down, and they're in all these third and really hard-to-manage third and long situations. The one ray of sunlight might be that the last 2 weeks, Slowick he's started to really pass to set up the run.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not going to waste as many series or sacrifice as many series to the football gods because they know, okay, our best chance at getting the ball moving and keep rolling is to pass the ball, and then there's opportunities to run the ball off of that.
It is funny, man. They are the ultimate relying on scratch-offs to provide your retirement money.
Yeah.
Because on the offensive side, they're relying on chunk plays, which are hard to come by, some randomness. And then on defense, you know, turnovers, you know, those are... Now, I think the Texans do force turnovers, but that's something that an opposing offense can game plan around.
But it is also, no matter how good you are at taking the ball away, you can't rely on it every single week.
Right.
It's just they're going to come in waves.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big, as much as turnovers are a factor in every game and every matchup, you could point to turnovers. These two teams, it's strength versus strength, because the Ravens have the third fewest turnovers offensively. The Texans have the second most takeaways defensively.
Lamar's thrown 4 picks all year.
Yeah.
To 37 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Not fake numbers.
It's
an
impressive stat line.
Yeah.
Those are the passing touchdowns. It's not like, Lamar Jackson with 15 rushing touchdowns. No. 37 passing touchdowns. He's played as well as Josh Allen this year. I don't know why the MVP race seems to be so conclusively in favor of Josh Allen, but I think some of it's probably just voter fatigue from Lamar having won.
That's what I was going to say. I think there's three things.
Yeah,
voter fatigue definitely one of them. Guys, people like to get new in there.
Yeah,
Number two, the Ravens aren't even leading their division right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a great argument. I'm saying that's an argument that some of the voters would use in that instance. And I think number three, even with the trade for Amari Cooper, there's still a narrative surrounding Josh Allen this year that he's doing more with less.
Yeah.
They traded away Stephon Diggs, and wow, look what he's done without Stephon Diggs. So I think those are the big reasons. But man, when I saw Lamar's numbers yesterday when I was doing that show with Randy McAvoy and he threw them up there on the screen, I'm going, that's not correct.
The thing that bothers
37 me 37 touchdowns to 4. You're absolutely right. Like that is an MVP in a vacuum. He is having an MVP season.
And the part I don't like about doing more with less is that it doesn't seem like when a quarterback has a great wide receiver, I don't think he's usually penalized for having Tyreek Hill on his team or what have you. But it's almost because Derrick Henry is a running back. They're looking at that like, oh, wow, yeah, boy, but he's got Derrick Henry. Right, it's a running back. It is still just a running back, you know.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that Derrick Henry is averaging 5.9 yards per carry is because teams have to still respect Lamar Jackson as a rushing threat too. So, I feel like it should be closer. And now I hope it isn't, because one thing that Lamar Jackson could do is to fall out versus the Texans on a nationally streamed football game.
You should be hoping that this thing is lock, stock, and barrel Josh Allen
after
tomorrow. All right, number two, power ranking of the power rankings. Connor Orr, he's SI.com, Sports Illustrated. Has the Texans, Seth, actually moving up after last week's loss to Kansas City? Moving up from 12 to 11 in his power rankings. I don't know what the category is here, but he says, this is the caption, new uniforms, like really new uniforms. The Texans, God, I hate this website. The Texans have the least dazzling, most Tommy Hilfiger polo-looking uniforms in the NFL. Let's surprise them for Christmas with a totally... Oh, they're talking about what gift you get each team.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that must be what it is. Hey, they are wearing... They tweeted out yesterday, the Texans are wearing the blue alternate uniforms.
I would say he feels that way about all their other new uniforms. I don't know. I feel like he might just be...
Least dazzling, most Tommy Hilfiger polo-looking uniform. He must be talking about just their regular uniforms.
Yeah, their regular... But even their regular uniforms this year, I don't feel like they're just stuck in the past.
No.
Just boring and preppy type things.
You know my feeling on that, and they've started doing this, is if you're going to go with a certain color jersey, same pants.
Mm-hmm.
Either go all white or all blue, head to toe. They're going to be wearing tomorrow the same uniforms they wore in the Bills game, the one with the H-Town Blue H on the side of the helmet.
The only thing I don't like about their monochromatic looks is, especially with that new deep, deep steel blue, is they look too much like a bunch of other teams. The Bears, even the Cardinals, and their color's black, but like the Texans' blue is so deep blue that there's times where I'll see I might just see highlights playing up on the TV and I think it's the Texans when it's actually the Cardinals or somebody else like that wearing their monochromatic. But all in all, no, I'm very happy with the uniform.
I am too. I think they've come off really well. All right, number one, power ranking of the power rankings. I feel like they've been number one for several weeks now. ESPN.com. Actually have the Texans dropping a spot after the loss to the Chiefs, but only to number 10. So they've got the Texans ranked the highest. Their category this year, or this week, Seth, I should say, is the rookie of the year for each of the 32 NFL teams.
Oh, this is an interesting one.
So who would you pick if you had to vote for a Texans rookie of the year?
I would say, because it's been more of a steady effort than the other guy, I would take Kamari Lassiter over Kalen Bullock. Because Kalen's really grown into it as the season has gone along. Whereas Kamari Lassiter felt like a veteran in a lot of ways from day one. So I'm going to guess they say Kamari Lassiter.
It's DJ Bieniemy making the pick, and he picks Kamari Lassiter. He says Lassiter has locked down his position, allowing the lowest completion percentage among cornerbacks with at least 200 coverage snaps, 43.8%. That's a stat right there, man. That's cool. He's played a huge role in the Texans, having the sixth best pass defense. He also holds up long enough in coverage to let the Texans pass rush, led by Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, to combine for 22.5 sacks and get home to sack the quarterback.
So the biggest thing, if you're thinking about power rankings, and since we're hot in the seeding debate over the college football playoffs, if you're looking at this Texans team like somebody that might be eligible for the playoffs, if you're a committee, you're going to look at quality wins or games versus quality opponents. And the four that stick out are the Bills, the Lions, the Packers, and the Chiefs. And
the Vikings, too.
And the Vikings, the Vikings, five. Yeah, so they're 1-4 in those games.
Yeah.
And sure, they, I keep seeing people say that it was a one-score game versus the Lions. The context matters there. The problem is that you intercepted Jared Goff five times.
And you allowed them to storm back in the second half.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it was a defensive letdown as well. Yeah. But also, the offense did nothing with those five turnovers. The Packers game, okay, on the road, you can make excuses for it. That was a genuine one-score game.
Sure.
Vikings, they didn't compete at all.
Nope.
The Chiefs, I thought that, yes, it was a one-score game, but that's what the Chiefs do to everybody. And you very clearly looked in the fourth quarter like a team that was not at the same level in terms of crunch time execution.
Not even
as
close.
As the Chiefs are. So that's a win over the Ravens is a bigger deal than even what the point total would suggest, I think. Because, man, as impressive as that Bills game was, that was earlier in the season. That was when the Bills were down a couple of people. And it was great. It was great that they made Josh Allen as bad as he was. This will be a much more impressive victory over this Ravens team right now than the Bills' victory was earlier in the season.
You're going to give your prediction in the final segment of the show today. Okay. That's an interesting way to look at it. You're right. If there was a committee that selected the postseason, are the Texans one of the top seven teams in the AFC right now? Mm-hmm. I think they are, because I think there has been that separation. The Bengals are the interesting one, because I think the Texans have the better resume, obviously. I mean, they're 9-6. The Bills are, or the Bengals, I should say, are 7-8. And yet, if my life depended on going up to Buffalo and winning a playoff game, I much more trust the Bengals with Joe Burrow at quarterback to be able to do. I'm picking Buffalo randomly here. Well, I'm picking Buffalo in part because if the Bengals do sneak into the playoffs, they would go up to Buffalo and play as a 7 seed against a 2. If you're a playoff team in the AFC, you should kind of be like one of the top 5 or 6 seeds. You should be kind of rooting for the Bengals to sneak in, because they might be able to handle some of your dirty business for you and knock the Bills out. That's a team that can stand in toe-to-toe and trade punches with them.
Chargers is another team that hasn't really they've had good victories over playoff caliber teams. Like, they beat Denver twice, and then they beat Cincinnati. So if we're in the college football playoff committees, those are good quality wins, but they're not against like total stalwarts of the league.
Right.
And then they feasted on teams like the early stage Panthers, the Raiders, the Saints. There's reasons people aren't gung-ho for them right now, but it's certainly an impressive turnaround.
They had one of those losses to the Chiefs where people are like, damn it.
Yeah.
Where the Chiefs blocked. No, that was Denver. They blocked the field goal. Something happened in that Chargers-Chiefs game. I forget what. Oh, that was the one where the dude boinked it off the upright and it went through a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So, good stuff. We'll hear from Lamar Jackson. We'll get to Lamar in the next segment. Lamar Jackson, Beyonce is a big topic. There's Beyonce prop bets out. We should probably probably get into those.
Let's gamble hardcore on that.
We'll gamble hardcore Beyonce prop bets. We'll get to that. And a whole lot more as we continue to get you ready. Seth's prediction will come in the last segment of the show here on a Football Tuesday in advance of tomorrow's Ravens-Texans game. Stay there.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so we already heard from D'Amico Ryans talking about this halftime show with Beyonce. The big concern that I've seen on the text page for this broadcast is the... citing the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight, the streaming issues.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that locally.
Not here, you
because
don't.
You can watch on television here.
That's right.
If you're listening to the show and you're not in Houston, yes, you might have a concern.
Valid
about
concern,
that.
I think.
I think that the number of people watching via stream is not going to be nearly as high as the Jake Paul fight, because that was what, supposedly 67 million or something.
Yeah, like in the 60s.
So the viewership for these Christmas Day games last year was about, I want to say 40 million, but a lot of that is the local broadcasts. So I don't think that whatever the streaming number is, like let's say hypothetically, maybe it's 25% of what the Jake Paul one was. And I feel like whatever lessons Netflix learned from the Jake Paul Mike, why am I calling it the Paul fight, the Mike Tyson fight? That
Paul won.
All right, yeah, I
kind
guess
of.
Mike Tyson letting Paul win fight.
Yes, yeah,
air quotes fight.
Yeah, allegedly.
That I'm not worried about it. I think you guys, everybody listening right now who's not going to be able to watch in market, I think it's going to be just fine.
Okay.
Now wait a second. If I'm watching, because I like to watch. Sometimes when I'm watching at the game, I like to have the broadcast going on my computer.
Yeah.
So I can kind of like screen grab plays
and
everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What, I wonder if I'll, I guess I'll have to, will I go to the local, what's the network that's broadcasting
it? I think it's, it's a good question.
It should be CBS, but.
Well, Fox broadcasted the Amazon game earlier this year.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So the, but I don't know, like which actual station, I guess, is showing it? Because then do I stream it through Peacock or do I stream it through whatever other service? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
I got to learn that.
Text in. People are asking, will Channel 13 be showing the Texans game? You know what I'll do? If we don't get a correct answer on the text page, I'll text somebody who would know the answer to that during the break. We'll get you an answer to that. But Beyonce is a big deal, man. A lot of people are going to be tuning in at halftime that aren't even watching the game from around the world just to watch Beyonce sing some songs at halftime, which should be a whole lot of fun. Beyonce, Houston native. Lamar Jackson himself is saying that he might watch Beyonce.
Nah, because I'm going to go out there and watch. Yeah. I'm go out there and watch, man. My first time seeing Beyonce perform, and it's at our game. That's dope. I'm going to go out and watch. Sorry, Hawa. Sorry, fellas.
Depends how big your lead is, if you guys have one.
Nah, man, I'm not even thinking about the lead. I was just thinking about just seeing Beyonce for the first time. Not saying it like that. No disrespect, nah. Because I know how people can take things. Pause. Next question.
You presumptuous bastards.
Yeah.
Depends on how big the lead is at halftime.
Wow.
Not if there's a lead,
no,
but
how big the lead will
be.
That's bulletin board material right there.
It'll be on CBS, so it'll be on
CBS,
KHOU.
CBS, okay. There you go.
You can stream it on, so that would be on Paramount, right?
Paramount Plus.
If you want to watch the local broadcast.
There you go. So, Beyonce, you and I talked about this. I'll be watching. I'm going to get myself a quick grub, quick food. Fill up a plate.
I said
food.
A quick rub.
No, grub. GRUB.
It's a longer halftime. You got it.
They're
extra
really
eight
spicing
minutes.
Up the press box this year for Christmas.
Why did Massage he say pause? I missed what he said. That he said pause afterwards.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear it either. Okay. I was too busy looking at these odds. I want to win some money on this. Which song will Beyonce perform first on Christmas Day? And we know she started to kind of like skew into country a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Right. So this is You know, so the, I feel like, I think, was it Texas Hold'em that was her big country, like her debut with the country? Yeah.
Sure, why not?
So Texas Hold'em, I think, is good value on here. If you, if this is the song
open up, either that, that's the
Houston,
opener or the closer. Yeah.
Yeah, one or the other. So it's the, but the bet is on which song will Beyonce perform first on Christmas Day. So if this plays, 8-1 It's well down the list. There's not any great payoffs.
What's the favorite?
The favorite is Ya Ya.
Okay.
Ya Ya. 3-2 Dangerously in Love, 2-1 Jolene. Is that Jolene like a remake of the Dolly Parton Jolene?
Probably.
5-2 Amen, 3-1 Daughter, 5-1 Riverdance, 5-1 Blackbird, 6-1 Crazy in Love, 6-1 And then Texas Hold'em, tied with Flaws and All at 8-1 It's a banger right here, man. Yeah. I'm going to throw down 8-1 Texas Hold'em.
Feel old, man.
Dude, I'm watching,
and she's my
I'm watching
age,
the video. She is sexy as hell in this video.
She's got
one of these vests on that only covers, like, you know, like the central part of her boobs. Mm. And like you, like the whole in between the boob part all the way down to her belt is just like there's she's not she doesn't have a bra on, so it's like the whole central part of her torso is showing right there.
Yeah.
That's really good. I mean, I know there's a very technical description.
I know.
But I'm just trying to paint a picture.
I know. It was just funny as you're explaining it. Like,
well, especially when you use the word torso,
no,
right?
It's
not that
when
sexy.
When I'm watching you do it, though, too, where like, you're pointing to like well-established names for these body parts.
Sternum.
But yeah, you know that area right around your abdomen?
Sternum.
And your torso.
And your chest. Boobs.
Yeah.
will Beyonce be wearing a Stetson when she comes on stage? Yes or no? I'll tell you. You tell me.
I think she does a very Texas heavy intro.
Gotta be right.
Yeah, not for the finale, but she does a very Texas heavy intro.
Yes is 1-3
Then there will be a costume change at some point where she pulls off the cowboy
costume
hat.
Costume change. It's not a 2-hour concert.
You got to start with, but that's why it's fun because they mix in like at those Super Bowl. So she'll have the hat on and like a a Western jacket or something, because that's easy to pull that off, and then all of a sudden, boom, quick change into something completely different.
Are we going to get some bare abdomen? That's the question.
Whatever that's called
there.
You know that hole in your stomach?
In your stomach.
Sometimes people put a ring hole on their stomach part.
What's it called?
Yeah.
It's a belly button. Minus 300, she wears a Stetson when she comes on stage.
Does it have to be a Stetson specifically, or just a cowboy hat?
That's fair.
Is Stetson in the lyrics?
I'm not sure. It says odds imply a 75% probability of a cowboy hat.
Oh, cowboy
so
hat.
So I guess it can be any. I can't imagine it being something other than a Stetson, but I'm not well versed in cowboy fashion. So will Beyonce's halftime show outfit show cleavage? This feels like.
Yeah, that's
even at
be.
Minus, it's minus 500 is yes. That feels like value even at that steep an odds.
Well, it's hard not to show cleavage with any kind of stage outfit these
it
days.
Better.
Anymore. What's their definition of cleavage going to be?
Doesn't say right here. What's your definition of cleavage?
Any part of the ball that bulges out from if you were flat chested. That's right. Cleavage.
Yeah.
So even if you're just seeing the very top there, but there's a little plumpness to it.
It's got to be a line, though. That you know, there's got to be a line
between the two boobs,
right?
It's got to be the cleave part of it. Yeah.
Okay. If people are watching on YouTube or Twitch
I'm creating a cleave.
It's a very uncomfortable.
With my bosom.
Very uncomfortable stuff going on in here right now.
St. Texas, Sean.
Take a picture of this.
If we weren't in Texas, we'd be allowed to do all these things if we weren't in Texas.
Yep. So there you go.
I don't know. Is it legal to show cleavage in Texas anymore?
Yeah.
Like they're. It's such a free state, except for a lot of the stuff you really want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, so there you go. I'm firing on minus 500. Yes, on cleavage. And Texas Hold'em at 8-1
Mm-hmm.
If I win, I'm taking you out to dinner, man. That's what I'll do.
So it definitely is that I didn't realize that it was going to be a longer halftime show.
I didn't either.
I don't like that. I feel like it's a big enough ask to ask people to, you know, change up their Christmases and everything. And I'm gung-ho for it. The Christmas afternoon is one of the most depressing and boring times of the year, depending on what your schedule is. Remember when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, it's over.
You're kind of like,
looking forward to this for 300 days.
Right.
Yeah.
You get that little, it's a like a dopamine withdrawal.
Yeah.
Where you're just kind of left with like, oh, all right, what do we do now?
Brutal.
So now you go to a football game.
Yeah.
But the extra long halftime, I just like, what are we at? A college game? We got to watch Battle of the Bands here? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a grumpy old man.
Yeah. The Chronicle, I thought Beyonce would make this list. She's not considered like Houston. Like she's from Houston, but not like when you're putting together a list of like the 37 most interesting or controversial Houstonians.
You don't consider her a Houstonian now.
You gotta be
even
based
though they
here.
Have a place up there.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, this isn't her home.
Because they put that list together. Chronicle did a list, the 37 most fascinating, controversial, and notorious Houstonians. And a few of the, it's funny, a few sports figures made the list.
Mm-hmm.
CJ Stroud made the list. This list is from like a week or two ago.
The guy that's most relevant to the previous discussion is Tony Busby.
Yes.
Who's very much in the Beyonce discussion. Well, at least the Beyonce family discussion
her
right
husband,
now. Busby's suing Jay-Z.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jay-Z's suing Busby.
Man.
Did you know that?
Rich P. I didn't know Jay-Z. What for?
Oh, wait. No, wait. Yeah, I think he countersued, or at least he threatened to countersue.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the status is.
Yeah, yeah. Busby was the first one they had on this list, and I don't even think they didn't go alphabetically. He was number one on this list. CJ Stroud's on the list. Tillman Fertitta, lock for the list of the 37 most fascinating, controversial, and notorious Houstonians. I feel like timing is everything. Aziz Alshire made the list. This list came out a week after he got suspended by the NFL.
Yeah, Aziz.
Because notorious is one of them and controversial. And I don't think Aziz himself is a delightful dude who's very, very generous. But I feel it is the controversy and notoriety that he gained from the hit on Trevor Lawrence and the subsequent suspension that got him onto this list.
Vaulted himself up there.
Yeah.
He would have been on this list without
that. That's how you cut through, man.
Yeah, he's suing, Jay-Z is suing Busby for defamation.
Yeah.
And I think extortion, I'm not sure, but one of those shuns.
Okay. That's good that he's suing him. I always feel like, hey, this guy's saying bad things about me. All right, we'll sue him then, you know?
Hard to win. When you're a public figure, it's really hard to win a defamation suit.
It's true.
The rules are kind of almost like the gloves are off if you're willingly a public figure, so it's harder. But at least I like it. If somebody's like adamant and defiant that they're innocent, yeah, I always feel like, yeah, well, then sue them, you know?
Yeah.
Good move by Jay-Z.
Yes.
Regardless of what the...
Without knowing what exactly happened.
I have zero clue about the actual reality of the situation.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to know, who's the most famous person to actually win a defamation lawsuit?
Some of it, Hulk Hogan basically...
Is that a defamation?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
So what you have to prove... When you're a public
Hulk
figure,
Hogan bankrupted Gawker, basically. So
this is what happens. That you can, if you're a public figure, basically you have to prove that they meant to do you harm.
Yeah.
So if it's just a tabloid or something, they can be saying, like, look, we're reporting crazy news and everything, but we're not trying to hurt anybody, which is kind of still bogus. But that's kind of where the line is drawn.
Yeah.
And I believe in the Hulk Hogan situation, they found that there was some kind of alliance between somebody that definitely wanted to harm Hulk Hogan. He had kind of some substance to that somehow. So.
Johnny Depp, Colin, our producer today, is getting in her ear. Johnny Depp won his against Amber Heard, right?
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was a wild one, man. That was a fun watch. I watched a lot of that trial. That was a good one.
I took it in through your account of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded fascinating.
It was. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a...
Johnny Depp, Houston athlete? No.
No, no, he's not on this list. He's not. Andre Johnson made the list.
Simone Biles made the list.
Simone Biles made the list. 50 Cent made the list.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you and I did not make the list. We need to cause more controversy.
We're not the best in the world yet.
Not yet. We will be. Our hope is
we're
to
not even
this,
the best in Houston.
Our hope is to make this list next year. Oh, I beg to differ.
B-I-H.
Yeah, B-I-H. We'll start there. We'll eat what's on our plate. All right. 713-572-4610.
Bad B-I-H.
Final segment coming up. Are you ready to make a prediction on this game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll do that in the next segment. Seth will give his prediction. We'll dig into some of the storylines for this game, and we'll hand it off to In the Loop. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, it's just as special as it was last year, you know, maybe even more so because it's twice, but it is meaningful. I mean, it's meaningful because, you know, if I'm going to talk about it in those kind of terms and spiritual terms, it's a chance to bring glory on a glorious day, I would say, you know, an opportunity to kind of shine in that way, you know, before men. And a lot of people are going to be watching, so we want to put our best foot forward and do it the right way.
The Harbaugh brothers sound very much alike.
You can tell that their voices sound similar, but then John just sounds so much more grounded in reality.
He's
He's like, the Pendergast in that relationship, where I'm more of the Jim
you're
Harbaugh.
You're the Jim Harbaugh, yeah.
Yeah, like Jim will just start talking about some nonsense that you can't even follow, much like me. Whereas you, will kind of just make a more reasonable observation about something.
And like you, I can't stop listening to Jim Harbaugh when he does these things. Mm-hmm. He's very interesting when he does these things. Yeah.
John missed the crazy gene, whatever the little gene. I don't know which side of the family it came from.
He doesn't
Jim
really.
Got it.
Yeah. Like, and he doesn't. Like, Jim Harbaugh looks exactly like the old man. Mm-hmm. Like, if you age progression software Jim Harbaugh, it would look exactly like Jack Harbaugh, their dad.
Yeah.
Whereas John Harbaugh looks a little more, he looks like Steve Guttenberg a little bit.
Does John, does he look like he's actually aging a little bit better than Jim?
Yes.
Yeah.
Without question.
Like, Jim's in really good shape.
Yeah.
Do you feel like all of that, it's not like, Jim's not like a heavy drinker or anything, but I feel like it's almost, he lives at 1,000 miles per hour all the time.
Yeah. And
it's like he's lived a hard life, but without like the rock star lifestyle.
Yes.
He's just always going.
Without
the coke. He sleeps on the floor. He just goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got natural cocaine within him.
Those college jobs will age you really fast.
A lot of travel.
Really fast.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many roles you play when mm-hmm. you're doing it. And Belichick's going to find that out soon enough. Of course, he's 73. Like, he's done the aging thing already. He's aged. All right, so how are we feeling about this game?
Not great. Not great, Jim. I don't feel fantastic about it. As I have most games this year, I'm relying on the defense really showing up at home. If you're hoping for an offense that probably isn't going to score a boatload of points, all right, because the Texans don't score a boatload of points unless they get a lot of help from the defense. But if you're looking at when the Ravens haven't been powerhouses offensively this year, they scored 20 points at Kansas City. On the road, they scored 24 points at Cleveland.
These are their lower scoring games?
Yeah. These are their...
Great.
The only time they scored fewer than 20 points was at Pittsburgh, where they should have scored more than 20, but Tucker missed some field goals.
Yes.
And then the only one at home where they scored... I'm sorry, they scored fewer than 20 points. They scored 19 points against Philadelphia. That was in Baltimore.
Okay.
But there's precedent for where they're not having their best offensive outputs. Three times this year, it's been on the road.
Okay.
So there's something there. If the best version of the Texans defense, even without Jimmy Ward, shows up, they can take advantage of the crowd noise, that fast track. Texans are allowing four fewer points per game at home this year than on the road. So I think they can reasonably hold the Ravens to the lower end of that margin. I just don't trust the offense at all right now. And the other big part of it is that the Texans are really good at taking the ball away. They're second in the league in takeaways. The Ravens' offense is the third best at holding on to the football. They've got the third fewest giveaways in the league.
Mm.
So it's going to be hard to get that advantage. So I am going Ravens 23, Texans... I'm trying to figure out. 17, yeah.
23-17. Okay, so you're right around the spread.
Yeah.
Ross Tucker told us earlier the spread is 5.5 right now for the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an under. You've been good on the totals this year. Over-under, so that would be an under.
Every time I've taken the over, I've failed.
Yeah.
Texans are 5, whatever they are. I think they've only won against the spread. Or I think they've only beat the over 5 times this
year. Yeah, they're much more of an under team this year, for sure. For sure. I think with this game, my prediction, I made it earlier, I'll give it to you here again. I think it's going to be a bigger margin in this game. I, too, have the Texans scoring 17 points. I've got the Ravens scoring 31 points. This just feels like a team that's got some elements to it where it's a little running on fumes right now
mm-hmm.
compared to the Ravens. The Texans are not a healthy team right now. They've got a lot of big names that are not out. As we went through the Ravens roster before, they're a pretty healthy team. They got a lot of their guys. I think of all the absences in this game, Seth, Tank Dell out for the season, Jalen Petrie out for the season, Jimmy Ward out for the season, Stephon Diggs out for the season. It hurts just to list that. This is the game I think Azeez Alshire is going to be missed more than any of those guys.
Especially because the Ravens have two viable, threatening tight ends. And the Texans have not been good against tight ends. And unlike Travis Kelce, these tight ends can run after the catch.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure on the defensive ends and the linebackers this week because of the run pass threat, the two-headed monster of Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. To stop the run, even really good defenses have to load the box. And then Lamar's been really good at finding the soft spots against aggressive defenses. A lot of times it's to the tight ends. So, yeah. So that part of it doesn't match up well for the Texans.
Yeah, it doesn't. And this might be the game that Henry Toa Toa having the green dot on his helmet that, mm-hmm. We've kind of marveled at, like, wow, he's got a lot on his plate and he's played some of the best football we've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
Even with that extra responsibility of getting guys lined up and everything else. With everything that the Ravens do and the pressure they put on, as you point out, the defensive ends and the linebackers, maybe this is the game where it kind of catches up. I don't know. I hope not. I hope that's not the case.
My biggest hope is that this defense playing at home with lots of crowd noise, there's going to be some Ravens fans there, but the Ravens fans don't travel like the Steelers do or some of those other teams, but there's going to be a good chunk of Ravens fans there. Some of whom, probably have been planning this from the day they found out it was going to be a Christmas Day game.
That'll be interesting. Okay, will there be a lot of Ravens fans there? Because the Christmas holiday, if it were like a Week 12 game on a Sunday, I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. Where are the Ravens on the list of fan bases that traveled?
I don't know, but I know when I looked at the prices on game time mm-hmm. earlier this week,
yeah.
They were pretty high. If you want to... It may have come down a little bit.
I think Beyonce's got a lot to do with
anything
that.
In the lower bowl is in the 300s
yeah.
right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a
There's
lot.
A lot available.
That's yeah. a lot for a Texans game. 300 in the lower bowl. Yeah, we'll see. That's interesting. The Ravens could the Raven fans invade? I think there's a better chance that there's people that are buying the tickets specifically for Beyonce at halftime
mm-hmm.
that I won't say are indifferent to the game, but maybe they're equally music and sports fans. You know what I mean?
Like, how many people go to a football game to watch a 20-minute concert?
Beyonce. Beyonce.
Even just a little taste of Beyonce. Yeah.
Christmas.
Beyonce fans probably travel pretty well.
Yeah.
The Beyonce fans travel as well as Ravens fans.
Here. Yeah.
And are they buyable?
right.
I feel like they would be. They probably, they're plunking down $300 a ticket.
Yeah.
To go watch Beyonce for 20 minutes. If you hand them a Texans jersey and a red towel, they're
yes,
probably all
a red
about
towel
it.
And some instructions on what to do when you look up at the Jumbotron.
When to be quiet.
Yeah,
and when to yell.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I'll just read the instructions. That's all we ask.
That's what they should do in the stadium is every time the Ravens offense is on the field, have Beyonce up on the screen.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
then the Beyonce,
crazy.
The fans that are there just for Beyonce will
go
screaming and yelling. Yeah.
Put JJ Watt, Beyonce.
Yeah.
Some Houston icons up there. Put them up there on the Jumbotron to get them cheering. Deontay Johnson is a Houston Texan.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up off of waivers yesterday.
He was not on our list of most influential Texans.
Yeah.
Or Houstonians. Yeah.
Yet, controversial and notorious, though. He may make it for those two adjectives at some point. He's a rental. He'll be here for the rest of this year in the postseason. If he gets on the field, how well do you think he fills at least the threat, from an athletic standpoint?
Yeah.
That, he can beat man-to-man coverage.
He has to be accounted for, yeah. And the Ravens have had to play softer coverages than they typically do because they've got some questions there in their defensive backfield.
Mm-hmm.
That there will be opportunities for him. It's just a matter of, okay, how many packages do they want to put in with Deontay Johnson where he doesn't know the entire offense? And, Amari Cooper came and played. Amari Cooper played
right
very
away.
Quickly, right?
Yeah,
and
caught a touchdown.
To the point where Keon Coleman had to tell him what to do on that one specific play.
That's right.
So, now, look, that's a different level and caliber of professional than Deontay Johnson. I'm putting the over-under at 10.5 plays for Deontay Johnson. And maybe mostly on third down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on third, even if it's just on third and long, especially when you want somebody that can really stretch and threaten, even if he's just running a go route, he doesn't have to know the
right
offense
now.
Or anything. Yeah,
he got one right now. His name's Nico Collins.
Right. So I think on third and long is where you're going to see the most Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
The Texans tend to be in third and long a lot.
They do.
They lead the league.
More than anybody else.
They're the best in the league
They're
at it.
The best at being in third and eight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they average.
The best in the world.
Best in the world. That's true. Yeah, they are the best in the world. It's a professional level. There's probably some college team out there. But yeah. I mean, I hope Deontay Johnson gets on the field. I hope for his sake he gets on the field. Embarrass the team that that told you that you were washed and you couldn't play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, Deontay Johnson, 10.5. I'll go over. I'll ride with you on that. I'm rooting for
over.
You
know what Dez King did in the game against the Steelers was he had a really nice punt return, but then he coughed it up just like he did in the preseason.
Yeah.
Remember? That was the because there was the battle between who was it Miles Bryant and Dez King at that point?
I think so for the slot corner spot.
Yeah, for like I figured for the actual cornerback that would play slot in certain situations and when you don't want Jalen Petrie on a super speedy dude.
Yep.
That was the competition. And Dez King fumbled
he fumbled a punt.
In the preseason.
Like he had no business even trying to field
it. So this one he had a nice return go and he coughed it up, but then the Ravens recovered it, so it didn't hurt him. But okay. So you're gonna see some Dez King out there as a returner.
Dez King's an interesting player, man. Like I never when he was with the Texans, I never thought to myself, like, this is a guy they need to cut. They got to get rid of. Like, he played a lot of solid football for the Texans.
He's just always had some curious incidents where there's a team levied suspension or left home for whatever reason. There's just something there where I guess they didn't feel like they could rely upon him. I think it's notable that the two teams that have picked him up when he hasn't been with the Texans have been the Steelers and the Ravens.
Yeah.
Because that's why I like Dez King. He felt like a Steelers-type player, a Ravens-type player. There's a grittiness to him. There's a blue-collar element to him that I really, really liked. It's going to hurt if Dez King has a big play against the Texans.
Okay, so what are
especially as they're down the defensive backs.
So what are we to read into Deontay Johnson basically just getting pushed to the curb by that same Ravens team?
Oh, yeah, maybe
he fits this offense a little too
Nick
good.
Nick and Nico will always say, you don't hold the guys past against them. Yeah. You want to see how they operate when they're in this environment. Yeah. It's tough because Deontay Johnson is a two-time loser recently with teams wanting to get rid of him. And so I don't, like, a lot of guys I would say, look, it's 2 weeks of the regular season of the playoffs. He can be on his best behavior. I don't know what drives Deontay Johnson or what makes him work.
Colin, you said you have a question for me and Seth?
Yeah, so I was kind of curious what y'all think since, you know, Tank Dell's injury is late in the year, so he may not heal most likely. I mean, not speculating, won't be back for, like, at least until, like, the half of the next season. I don't mean to think ahead of y'all, but depending on how Deontay Johnson does, do y'all bring him back? Do the Texans bring him back on a one-year deal?
I would say no, just because of all of the stuff that has led him to be on three different. Well, this is his fourth team.
It's his fourth team
in 2 years.
And
now.
He was not beloved in Pittsburgh. He's been on Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Sandwiched around being a Carolina Panther. Yeah there, it feels like there's a shelf life on Deontay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I think the Texans feel like if we can get two games in a postseason out of him, you know, the Chiefs should have ejected on Kadarius Toney before they did. They kept him around for another year after they brought him in.
He's a Vegas stripper. You know, you don't fall in love with him. You move on. you certainly don't. Remember the Titans player that left his wife for a stripper that he met in Vegas?
I do.
Yeah. and it was when he was a veteran player, too. It wasn't like some dumb rookie.
Did that end
or
up working out?
I would bet money, no.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, it can work, but it was way too fast.
Yeah.
It was way too. It wasn't like he met a stripper. And, hey, look, she's got a heart of gold, and he fell in love with her. It felt like the timing was like, oh, he met a stripper, called up his wife, said, honey, I ain't never coming home no more, and then that was it.
So he skipped right past putting her
That's what my memory is, but it probably was different.
He skipped right past putting her through law school first.
Yeah.
Okay, wow, all right. Yeah, I think, Colin, we're both a no on Deontay Johnson beyond this year, so we'll see. Hey, man, if he plays well, look. They're going to need receiver help. I think receiver in the draft becomes a priority now if the Tank injury is serious. Yeah, man. Look who's here. It's
Merry Christmas.
It's Area 45.
Yeah.
In the loop. God, there's all kinds of highway stuff going on.
Exactly.
Man.
Yeah.
The sun is up, but we are here.
Yeah, man.
It is a paradox and a conundrum.
You guys have the only non-transportation, you know, themed show.
We put our names on the show, man.
Yeah, you put your names
there. It's good,
there.
Man. It's good for...
How the hell can you be out on Deontay Johnson, like, already?
No, I'm not. No.
For
no,
next
no.
year.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, this is a huge, huge opportunity for him in the Texans.
Colin was asking us to predict if he will... We think if he does well, do we think he'll be brought back next year?
Well...
I would predict no, but I would be open to
it. He's upset about not being the guy in Baltimore. There's no way in hell he's ever going to be the guy here. He's been on three teams in 2 years.
Yes.
Four teams now in 2 years.
Yes.
I feel like it's kind of like, okay, A guy who's been arrested four times for petty thievery, do you let him house sit the fifth time?
At some point, you know, you can remove head from ass and get it together.
But the statistics would tell you that if I had to gamble on it, that this isn't going to be the time, you know?
That's fair.
It's like gambling on a guy's fifth wife. You know, like, all right, is this one going to be the one that's, where you found magic? And I'm not buying it.
She wants a life insurance policy 10 times more than the last one.
I was thinking of that same guy. Yes.
Deontay Johnson, he's on meds too. Yeah.
You know, Quitter McQuitface gets league minimum.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the thing. Is he talented? Yeah, he's really talented. Yeah. But you got yourself thrown off the Ravens.
Yeah. Right.
If you got thrown off the Ravens with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't coexist on the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, all of that. Like, it was a pretty cushy one of the best offenses in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
And it goes beyond that, if we're being honest. I mean, there's a reason why he's not a Pittsburgh Steeler. There's a reason why he's not a Carolina Panther.
Yeah.
So.
Once upon a time, Terrell Owens did finally figure out how to not be a jerk. But sometimes by the time you learn how to say hello, it's time to say goodbye.
Right.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinky Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Stinky Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.